I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Since this is Kids Week, I want to talk about something this morning that I think is vitally important, something that's dear to my heart. And we're going to deviate a bit from Joseph. We'll look at him again next Sunday, and that will be the end of our study in the life of Joseph, and then we'll move on to other themes in the Bible. The good thing about the Bible, it's a never-ending reservoir. You don't ever get to the end of it. There's always some good word from heaven to share. And in receiving that, we learn from the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to begin reading at verse number 4. And I'll be reading from the NIV. Let me set the context here. The Lord has just given Moses the Ten Commandments. And Moses, in turn, has given them to the people. That's what a minister of the gospel is. God gives the minister something. The minister has the job description of giving what God has given to the people. So Moses is giving these instructions to the people. And beginning at verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then he begins some instruction, and he gives some directives. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." In other words, this isn't to be just a surface experience. You're not to be a nominal Christian. You're not to, of course, it wasn't Christianity in that time, but you're not to be a nominal follower of the one God. But you're to give it everything that you have. And then I want you to notice what he says in verse 7. "Impress them," what? "The truths, the decrees, the law of God. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road." Or contextualizing that, he would simply say when you're riding along the way in your vehicle or when you're commuting here and there. Don't let it be an abnormal thing. Don't let it be just something you do in Sunday school or an annual VBS. But let it be something mom and dad, grandparents, and others that you do all along the way. Talk about them. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning about the children, the kids, the little ones. Now, you might not have children, but we all have the responsibility as a church family of indoctrinating or influencing or impacting the children. Oh, I have a lot of kids around here. And if they snub me at first, I keep on till they smile. For some of them, it took a few years. Yeah, they were very little, and I'd try to coax them and get a smile, and they'd, turn like, I had a few adults do that too. But after a while, I kept on, because I love children. And then they'd get to where they were accustomed to me, and then I'd get a smile. And then one little lady in particular, I noticed that during VBS, every time I saw her, I'd look at her until she smiled. Now, this was over a period of a couple of years. And for the first time, she ran up to me during VBS and began to talk to me. "Listen, they might not be our children biologically, but we have a responsibility to the children and the young people of our church." Now, notice what the Bible says. First of all, before I'm ever going to be able to help anybody else, I've got to get something right in my own life with God. Notice what Moses tells Israel. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." In other words, this is a Hebraic way of saying, give it 100%. Give it everything you've got. Don't be a part-timer for God. we've got too many of those in the church world today. They serve the Lord when it's beneficial to them. They show up when it's convenient. They model Jesus when it's to their benefit, but when it isn't, they don't. Let me tell you something about children. Children learn much more from what they see than from what they hear. In other words, mom and dad and church moms and dads, we can say a lot to them. We can say, we set aside 1 week a year for you to have a VBS. We can say, we have a ministry for you. We can talk about kids' church and say, we have all of this for you. But then if our own actions violate what they're being taught within those ministries, then we have defeated the objective and the goal that God has placed upon our lives. Now, I want to make a statement today before I go any further in this message. And I mean this with all of my heart. If I win the entirety of Alamance County to Jesus, I'm just saying if that was possible for me to do, and I fail to, what does he say, impress upon my own family, my children and my grandchildren, the truth of the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, I have failed in what God has called me to do. But Pastor, what about all those others that you would have won to the Lord if you won the entirety of the county? That's wonderful. That's great. And praise God for that, and I would rejoice. But I would still have failed if I didn't impress upon my own the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Him, that serving the Lord is not some sporadic, convenient thing that I do, but it's a day by day, moment by moment, second by second journey where the Lord is real at every given and any given moment of the day or the night, that it isn't just a Sunday morning from 10 to 12 thing, but it's something that's real 24/7. Every day, every night, every moment, every single second of life, the truth of God is supposed to be impacting my life. I laughed. I sat there and just rolled at times laughing this week as they were singing the little songs and the kids were jumping, and I would watch different ones. And some people are more gifted at dancing than others. Some just have an innate ability, and some of us, bless our hearts, we just ain't got it. I mean, you could put us in the most conducive setting to dancing, and we just ain't got it, okay? We just don't have it. And I would watch the different ones, and some of them, I just perused the group at different times, and I would try to imagine the family setting of some of them. Some of them, both mom and dad, serve the Lord. And they do their very best to impact on their children the truth of God and of living for the Lord. Some have a mom or a dad that's serving the Lord and the other parent isn't. Many of them from broken homes and blended homes and some from homes that the parents don't even claim to know Jesus. And I looked at all of that and I thought, Lord, at least for 1 week, we have the privilege to knock a dent in the darkness of a sinful world and tell some little one that at some point is going to stand before a just God that there is an answer and there is a way. And even though they might not have the best of home settings, that even though mom and dad might not be serving the Lord as they ought, they don't have to live their life like that. That there is a better way. There is an answer. And for 5 nights, we had the privilege to impress them with Jesus. Now that's five nights. What about the rest of the year? What about when we go home? What about church family, when the little ones, when our teenagers and our youth see us out in public? Are we living the kind of life that loves God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? See, that's the only way that we'll ever be able to impress upon this next generation the truth of the Word of the Lord. I talked with my grandmother this morning on the telephone, and they'd had the funeral of a guy that I grew up in the church with, older than me. He was my Sunday school teacher as a teenager. And I remember sitting in his class many times as a teenager, cutting up. Jeff's already led our youth along the way to the point they don't ever do that. They don't ever cut up. But I did. And I thought about that guy this week when I found out that he had passed. And he was a little strong in some areas, but the guy never wavered until the day he died. He never faltered. He was consistent. And I thought about that. And I thought about the impact of his generation on mine. And then I thought about the responsibility of my generation upon this next generation that's coming along. See, if I don't instill within mine, and when I say mine, I do mean my biological family, but I mean all of us. If I don't impact these young people with my life, if they don't see something in me that's different, if I'm out living any sinful way and trying to tell them that another way is the way you ought to live, see, then I have violated everything that I'm speaking with my mouth. If I'm not walking the walk, you see, my talk is irrelevant. And if I'm not setting the course for others, then my life is meaningless and I have failed in what God has called me to do. Now I want to talk to us in the few moments that we have left this morning in a very specific way. I want to talk about just a few things that I believe it will either impact our children, either negatively or positively. My daughter told me something one time that I've never forgotten, and I would rather her say that of me than for me to be able to leave $10 million in the bank when I die. She said, "Daddy, you're always the same. You're the same at church as you are at home." See, that's important to me, because I've seen too much along the way of life. People that were one thing in church and they were something else outside of church. And let me tell you what that does to the children. And when I say children, I say that generically. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about even the early 20s, the 20-ish group that we're supposed to be as middle and older adults, that we're supposed to be impressing with what really matters. See, if my life doesn't measure up to what I'm speaking, then I have destroyed everything that I'm saying with my lips. I cannot live one way in church or around the people of God and live another way somewhere else and make the kind of impact that Moses was talking about here when he said, "I want you to impress on them and I want you to tell them." And in one place he says it like this: when they ask you, "What does all of this mean?" Here's what I want you to tell them: that we were bondmen to Pharaoh, we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand, and we're not the same as we used to be. We're different. We're new individuals. Our lives are not what they once were. And that's the only way that we're ever going to make a dent in the darkness of the lives of our children, is when they see something in us It's different. I learned that from my grandmother. And I've taught so many times the things she modeled in front of me. For example, it was never a question, are we going to church? Church was the most important thing in our lives other than our family. It was never a question, are we going to church this morning? And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again this morning. If your children are asking you that frequently, you've missed it somewhere. Because see, children only know what they see. And if they see in you that it's, you know, we'll go this Sunday if we feel like it, and if we don't, listen, you don't go on vacation every other Sunday of the year. I mean, if you do, you've got a lot more money than I. See, and if our children don't see consistency in us, here's what they begin to imagine. Well, this is just like anything else in life. We do it if we want to do it. We don't do it if we don't want to do it. And it doesn't really matter all that much in the long run. But see, according to the Scripture, it does matter. And I could count on one hand the church services that my grandmother missed the entire years I was growing up as a young person. I saw in her that serving the Lord was not just a Sunday school thing. It wasn't something you did to get a banner. It wasn't something you did just during morning worship. It wasn't just a Sunday night thing or a Wednesday night thing. It was an every day, every moment, every second thing. And that impacted me. That was impressed upon me by her life. So when I became a Christian at the age of 20, when I committed my life to the Lord and had been serving Him all of these years, that played a vital part in my relationship with God. I thought, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be consistent. I don't want my faithfulness to look like a checkerboard, hit and miss, here and there. Do it if you want to and don't if you don't. No, I want to be faithful in everything I do. Somebody said, well, I was drugged to church and I'm not going to make my kids. Well, you make them brush their teeth. You make them take a bath. At least I hope you do. You instill with them personal etiquette and hygiene. And you want to make sure that there's certain things that are right in their life. What about the most important thing in all of life? And that's Jesus Christ. That's more important than a ball game. That's more important than extracurricular activity. That's more important than any hobby or thing that you like to do in your life. Serving God is most important. See, if I don't instill that in my children, all of you, then I failed. And I can't afford to fail. I can't afford. Can you imagine getting, if one made it to heaven having lived like this, can you imagine getting there and your own biological family not being there, and you somehow found out that the reason they weren't committed to Jesus was because of your lack and inconsistency? I know everyone has to make their own choice, but listen, we influence people along the way. And God is going to hold us accountable for our influence, because we influence either positively or negatively. Every single one of us do. I remember my dear wife telling me one time, she said, but honey, I don't want to be an influence. Hey, there have been times I didn't want to be an influence. We all feel like that along the way, but it's not like we have a choice in the matter. Somebody's looking at us, and they're observing us. Some of them just to find fault. Others just to see if they can find some error. And I have to confess, you look at me long enough, you'll find something that you don't like. Some of you didn't have to look long to find it. But this is the issue. Am I faithful? Am I consistent? Am I dedicated? Am I there when I'm supposed to be there? Do my kids see me at home? Do I go into debt so much that I can't give God what's His? And do my kids see me making choices with my money where I spend it on secular things as opposed to giving it to the Lord? See, all those things are important. You might say, but I provide for my family. You may do that monetarily, but do you do it spiritually? See, this is Kids Week. I had another sermon to preach this morning. When I looked around and did this, I wasn't telling the PowerPoint person I was going to kill them after church. That meant no PowerPoint today. As we were singing, this verse leaped into my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. So I don't have any notes here today. All I have is a mandate and a challenge to each of us. Let's be to the children what God has called us to be. Let it not be just a few hours of volunteer service during one of the hot weeks of July, but let them see consistency in us every day we live and every moment we're alive. Because if we get to the end of the way and our own don't make it, we failed. And I love fellowship. I love a good time. The largest attendance we had was Friday night. That's the night we had hot dogs. I couldn't help but wonder about those two things. It was almost double attendance that night. And you know what? If I knew that was the reason, I'd have hot dogs every Sunday. I mean, if it took that to get somebody here, I would cook them myself just to get you in the house of the Lord. So I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying, do the kids, do the children, do our own see in us 24/7? What about how we talk? Minister went to eat with one of his families in the church, and it was time to pray over the meal. And the little boy looked at his dad and said, "Dad, you going to use your football words during this prayer?" You know what he's talking about, don't you? He had some words that he used while he was watching football on TV. I guess that his mom had called football words, which I would assume would be ugly words, when his team wasn't winning. And he would say a few choice words. Do our kids hear us talk like that? I'm not standing here bragging before you today. My daughter can tell you, she's never heard me say a curse word. Someone said, "I can't help it." Yes, you can. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love Him enough to sacrifice that old vocabulary and say, "Lord, it isn't right. Please help me not to speak like this in front of my children"? And it would be a good habit not to do it when you're by yourself either, much less in front of your children. Someone said, "I can't help what I say." Really? You help where you go. You help how you dress. Do we not owe it to our children to talk in such a way that would be productive? What about this deal of situation ethics when we choose? And see, don't tell me your kids don't pick up on it. I know they do. Situational ethics of lying when it's convenient. God help us. God help us to impress the children. See, the only way we're ever going to be able to impress the children is when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the sad thing, in some ways I wish I could answer for other people, and that I know that some really struggle in some areas, but I can't answer for anybody but myself, nor can you. The critical issue is, when we stand before God, and we will, how are we going to be weighed in the balances as far as impressing and impacting our children. Some of you were blessed in life. You had a mom, a dad that were nothing but good as gold in terms of just in general, but also in terms of the Lord. And then some of us had situations that were just the opposite. But the critical issue becomes when I'm old enough to understand life, then I've got to begin to live it for myself. And I can't blame anybody else. I can't fault anyone else. I can't say, well, I didn't have this, so I'm not responsible. We're all responsible to the children. I'm not saying any of this today for any reason except for the children. Because I want us to do our best to lead this next generation into the presence of God in a way that will cause them to love Him and know that it's real and realize it's the only answer to the things of life. Alan, come to the instrument, would you? Had no idea I was going to use this verse today. And nothing I've said has been to demean or belittle. It's been a challenge. To be honest, I've stepped on my own toes. If I forget the fact that I'm a preacher, if I, as a man, fail to be the spiritual leader that I need to be, yes, initially to my own biological family, but to my extended family, then I failed. Doesn't matter how loud I shout. Doesn't matter how well people think of me. I failed. And that's why that I take this thing important or seriously, because it's very, very important. I want to make a difference in the lives of our children. Amen. I don't want these young people to think this isn't real or it's just a game. It's the most serious thing in the world. It's the most serious business in life. Serving God, putting Him first, being what we need to be. Stand with me, would you? How will you impress the children? Father, may each of us today understand the responsibility that we've been given. We all fail and at times, and none of us are perfect. I haven't suggested that this morning, that we should be just sinlessly perfect. We all have struggles, and we've all blown it along the way. God, not a one of us can go back and undo what was done. But Lord, from this moment forward, help us to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us to be that example, that living letter that Paul talked about, that human representation of Jesus that lives in the same house with others, and then in an extended way attends the same church as others. Lord, help us to make a difference. Help us to realize our responsibility. Where we failed, forgive us. But help us to go from this point forward talking about it along the way. When we go to bed, when we get up, when we travel, when we eat, when we sit at home, as the Bible says, let it not be an odd or an unusual thing for us to talk about the things of God. But Lord, help it to be normal. Help us to integrate in every facet of life the truths of Scripture. And God, may we make a difference in the lives of our children. And Lord, we'll thank You.